But the second thing is, and this is the moment that I'm talking about, change my life. I got it. I understood what he was saying. He wasn't saying to me, things are, you know, it was your fault that this happened. What he was saying to me was, the world is our mirror.
A warm welcome to Our Spirited Life, the broadcast of a woman who simply won't settle. This season, we're talking about life in our third act, indeed owning our third act. And today, I am so delighted to welcome Carolyn Dean, business coach and marketing mentor. And frankly, since 1982, there is not much that Carrie hasn't had to tackle, both in business and in life. She is an absolute phoenix, and as such, believes that we can be the architect of our future and design our lives so that we can live them truly on our terms. Carrie's story actually features in the second volume of my anthologies, Women of Spirit, and knowing her as I do, with her warmth and wisdom and her passion for helping others succeed, she truly deserves her place there. So welcome, Carrie. It's wonderful to have you with us today.
Hello, Susie. Well, I'm delighted to be here today, and thank you so much for the invitation.
It's my pleasure. I was just so thrilled when you said yes, you would guest on Our Spirited Life. So would you like to begin by telling us why I describe you as a phoenix and the effect that your challenges have actually had on you?
I describe myself as a phoenix because, and in fact, how I describe it, Susie, is actually about having the phoenix factor. Mm-hmm. And the phoenix factor for me is where, you know, and for most of us in life, there's been places where we've had to start up or start over. But for me, in the last 38 years that I've been in business, I've had to resurrect my business and my life. At least five times.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, whether that was due to chronic internal issues or crisis external circumstances, that monumental phoenix rising from the ashes had to happen.
Are you okay with telling us about a few of those?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, no problem at all.
Thank you.
This does go back a wee bit, I have to tell you. So back in 1984, I had a very successful business with my business partner, but he was also my life partner. And unfortunately, on our way to work one day, we were involved in a car accident. And unfortunately, my partner died as a result of that accident. Now, of course, given the fact that was a massively traumatic experience and loss and trauma, but it was also the end of the life that we'd planned and the end of the business that we had together. So that was a major hurdle, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Then I went on, and thankfully, because, you know, I'd been very well trained by him, I went off and I was able to do my phoenix and I created a new business. And that was very successful. In fact, it grew to about a $3.5 million global turnover. Yeah, it was very, very successful. But then in 2002, my PA committed identity fraud and embezzlement on my business. It's that, you know, most people sort of fall down in horror at that kind of thing when I mention this, because your business is such an intimate thing, and for somebody to steal from your business is, you know, it's literally from your bank accounts.
You placed such trust in her, ultimate trust.
Yeah.
Did you ever have any signs that
I'll come to that because it's one of the things that probably one of my biggest learnings in life. So I will tell you about that.
Okay.
But she ran up, not only did she run off with my life savings, she ran up hundreds of thousands of pounds of debt in my name through identity fraud. Mm-hmm. So not only did I lose a lot of money, but I had to untangle the web of deceit And, you know, the whole thing, it destroyed my credit rating. And I get tickets for speeding tickets, the Mercedes that she'd hired in my name. I mean, it was a nightmare. And it took 2 years just to untangle the fraud. Then it took a number of years to recover financially, because I'd lost 2 years in terms of my business. And in fact, you know, I ultimately let go of that business because I was never able to recover in that particular model. But also it was the psychological effect. You know, the psychological effect of that level of betrayal and that somebody so intimate within your life and your business. It took a long time to recover from.
I mean, that also is such a huge, if that was the only knock you had, that's a massive, massive knock. But coming after the one before that, you must have thought, what am I doing wrong? You know, what's going on here?
Well, you know, Susie, lots of people have asked me, you know, how do you recover from something like that? And the honest truth is, because of what happened to me with Bobby and the car accident, actually, even though it was horrendous, the other thing was only money.
Yes.
And you know, that woman had access to my children, who were small at the time. And I always think I could be telling you a much worse story. Thankfully, I'm only telling you a story about money and betrayal and, you know, all that stuff that goes on. And that's how I eventually was able to recover from that.
Okay.
What I did was I put my Phoenix factor and my Phoenix formula into play. And what I did is, because I had a young child, Rory was only 3 at the time. What I did was I created from my home here. And what I did was I completely transformed the ground floor where I am now into a small early year centre. And I created my nursery business, which was Childhood Matters. Mm-hmm. And that, within 18 months, was Ofsted outstanding. We had the highest hourly rate in the county because we provided such a premium service. But in 2007, these homes around where I live were flooded out, not once in the same year, but twice, from a tiny little brook, which if you look at it just now, it's about that deep. Yeah. But I can tell you the water was up to our thighs in here. I know.
I have to say, all of this was as a single mum as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as a single mum with 2 boys. And you know, so anyway, Phoenix formula, you know, get back into, you know, with the strategies and the mindset that I utilize. We got back on our feet and we, you know, we ran very, very successfully. And in fact, what I was wanting to do was that my expansion plans for Childhood Matters was I was about to franchise the business model. I had 2 franchisees set up, 1 in Edinburgh, 1 down in Cornwall. They were ready to go. And then in 2009, the financial crash came, you know, the recession, the credit crunch, nobody could borrow any money. So that was the end of my expansion. They were just basically dashed almost overnight. So, however, you know, I never say die, as you know, in the Phoenix formula. And so what I did, I continued, I did run Childhood Matters, but by that time my children were older. They were kind of fed up with having children around. And in actual fact, you know, when you work with, because we were having to work with Ofsted and, you know, our local county council and the liaison, you were really operating on high alert the whole time. However, it was such a learning experience for me, Susie, because I'll tell you something, one of the most amazing things to learn in business is to watch children negotiating. And whenever you watch, if you ever watch a six-year-old child, especially girls, if you ever watch them negotiating, my God, you'll get some incredible skills from that. So I've never, you know, I loved that period of time when we ran Childhood Matters. And of course, my own children were able to grow up safely while I was able to generate an income from the comfort of my own home. And that was something that was very important to me.
I remember you saying that because you love sales, many, many people, particularly maybe British people and maybe even more particularly British women, really the thought of selling something sends shivers up them, and we have quite negative feelings about it. But I'd always remember you telling us that the word to sell in Swedish translates to serve, which I love. And also you are in love with sales, because when it's done properly and when it's done with integrity and authenticity, you can, if you can sell, you can always make a living.
Absolutely. And that was, you know, that was really my legacy, or the legacy that Bob left me.
Yeah.
Was the fact that, you know, I had learned to sell in integrity. And when I say in integrity, for me, because you've made the point there, Susie, you know, to sell is to serve. If you have that mindset, it's a very different thing. And it's one of the things that I train people to do is, you know, don't see yourself as selling. It is literally solving someone's problem.
Yes, I love
serving
that.
That's, you know, serving them to create solutions.
Yes, yes.
So it is really a very different viewpoint. But you made a very valid point that women, you know, typically women, I'm not saying all women, because lots of women are fantastic and love selling. But, you know, a lot of, you know, coaches, consultants have real difficulty, especially if they're in maybe the healing world, or you know, they have real difficulty selling their services.
Because they're selling themselves.
Yeah, and that's a very, you know, that's bad on two fronts. And I'll tell you why. It's bad for them because they're not able to generate the kind of income and the you know, really be paid the what they're worth. But also what's happening is the people who could be working with them are missing out on that.
Yeah, it's kind of flipping it, isn't it? So if I know that it was at a very young age, in your very early 20s, that you were taught by your partner and you fell in love with sales because you could see how beautifully it could be done. But if you had not done that, is there a different career that you might have chosen to follow? And if so, what?
It's really funny because I was thinking about this the other day there. It sounds terribly dull after but you know, I'm fascinated by the law and I'm fascinated by politics. I'm a very
oh yes, I know you are.
and you know, if I was going back now to do you know, knowing what I know now, I probably would have followed that. I would have liked to have been a barrister, actually. That's where you know, I am a wordsmith. I enjoy that aspect. I enjoy the whole influencing and persuasion aspect of communication. And what I mean by that, I don't mean that in a manipulative or in a way that's not about the other person's agenda. It's not about my agenda, it's about both our agendas. So I do love that, and I love to listen to good orators, and you know, so that would probably would be something that I would get tremendous satisfaction from.
But a barrister rather than politics?
This is why I would have definitely done law. I would have definitely become a barrister. Now I would definitely gone into politics. That's
okay.
That would have been my career path. That would have been my chosen career path.
Yeah. Okay.
So in your current career, let's call it, what motivates you to keep going and keep growing? Especially in, you know, at our age, sometimes we get quite tired. But so what is it that keeps you moving forward?
So that is a really good question. I've got a vision, firstly. You know, I'm always very, I think what it is, Susie, is I stay working at a high level. Now, what I mean by that is I don't necessarily mean in terms of skill sets and things like that, because obviously that's kind of a given. What I mean by that is I do stay focused on the big picture.
Okay.
And that's actually part of what I would say in terms of these recovery strategies, is that, you know, once you've created that big picture, as far as I'm concerned, in my belief system, it's already created. Now I have to sort of come into almost like the day to day and create the action plan that's going to take me to that big picture. You know this about me. I'm a massive planner. I plan. Now, not so that I'm rigid within my plans, but so that I can create that big picture.
Yeah, I guess if you don't have a plan, you can't take the steps towards your goal. And so without a plan, is a goal just a wish?
For sure. I mean, here's the thing for me is a lot of people will say to me, oh, is that not an awful lot of hard work, all that planning? And actually the opposite is true. The planning makes the purpose much, much easier. It happens with much more ease.
That follows.
Well, you know, because each day, all I ever have to think about when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to think about that big picture because that's already been and done and created. It's out there. Mm. I don't have to stress about, oh, has that done, that done, or that done? Because all I need to think about is, what am I doing today? Yeah. What's the thing I'm doing today? Oh, right, okay, this is a client's day today. So all I think about is clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it frees your mind what you need to be doing in that particular moment. And I know, having been taught to live much more in the present, although we plan, it gives you, living in the present and being focused on what you're doing now gives you such peace of mind, because you're not fretting about what has gone and you're not worrying about what might happen in the future or might not happen in the future. So I think also being in the here and now is a great thing. Was there a key moment that led you to where you are now?
Yeah, there definitely was. I told you about my the car accident and Bobby's death, and then, you know, going into these various other businesses that I created. And what in 2013 was when I began my business consultancy. I wound down Childhood Matters and I began my business consultancy. Mm. But I can absolutely say, for sure as eggs are eggs, that I would not have been able to do really most of that had I not had this one experience. And the experience was, I'm just trying to think about the date, probably around about 1990, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I had a phone call from a friend of mine who lived in London. And he said to me that it was a very cryptic call, but he came on the landline and he said, right, do you trust me? And I said, yes. He said, right, I want you to get on a plane and I want you to fly down to London this weekend. Okay. I'll meet you at Heathrow on Friday evening. Well, you know, there's me. I'm a busy businesswoman. I've got my young son. And I thought, oh, it's all very strange. But, you know, I did trust this chap. He's a very, very close friend of mine.
Yeah.
So I went down to London and he took me to this beautiful, beautiful flat, magnificent flat in Earls Court, where I was meeting people like film directors and all these really fantastically interesting people. And we went through a process, a sort of workshop for a couple of days. And honestly, Susie, for 2 days I was sitting stewing because of what's going on here. Is this a cult? What, you know, why am I here? Blah, blah, blah. What's this guy talking about?
What sort of workshop was it?
Well, it was the model they were using was psychology of vision.
Okay.
And psychology of vision are very powerful. I now know this, but I at the time didn't know anything about it at all. And basically it's a healing model of psychology, if you like, and it helps the mind to heal.
Okay.
But at that point, I couldn't hear anything, but this guy was saying, everything in your life is your fault. That's what I was hearing.
Okay.
But actually what he was saying and teaching was, we're responsible and we're accountable.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I got through to about the Sunday evening and, you know, he said at one point, has anybody got any questions? I said, listen, I have to ask you this. I've had this happen and I've had this happen. And, you know, don't tell me that I'm, you know, it's my fault for such and such. I'm a victim of circumstance, da, 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 da.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said to me, and this was, talk about one of the most powerful things. And he just very quietly said to me, let's put that to one side for a moment. And let's just firstly talk about the grief.
Eek.
I know.
Oh, that sent shivers up me, Carrie.
This was about 6 years after Bobby had died.
Yeah.
And I'm seriously not joking when I say to you, I heard a noise in the room and I thought it was either like a wild animal or a child or something was howling in the room. Mm. It took me a few seconds to realize it was me.
Mm.
The noise was coming from me.
Gosh.
And what I got, I really understood, was that number one, I had never had an opportunity to actually grieve or to process the horrific thing that had happened in that car accident. That was number one. Because way back in those days, Susie, people didn't talk about, post-traumatic stress disorder or anything like that.
No.
So that was absolutely incredible. And the second thing, so I had that massive release in terms of what that grief was about. But the second thing is, and this is the moment that I'm talking about, changed my life. I got it. I understood what he was saying. He wasn't saying to me, things are, it was your fault that this happened. What he was saying to me was, the world is our mirror.
Okay.
You know, what we're seeing in our world, what's happening in our world, is a reflection of who we are, what we are, and how we're thinking and how we're behaving. Now, that's a very simplistic explanation of that. But I totally understood it. So what that's allowed me to do is go on and take 100% accountability in my life, 100% responsible for everything that's been happening. So even the we were talking about the girl who embezzled my PA, and you asked me, was there signs? Yes, there was signs.
Okay.
But I wasn't, I was picking them up, but I wasn't processing where I didn't trust
myself. They weren't sinking in.
Yeah, they weren't sinking in, and I was doubting myself, and I didn't trust myself to challenge that or this or that. So it was that's what I mean in that moment. Because what that girl did was she saw the chinks in my armor.
Okay.
And she was able to go, that she's negligent there. I wasn't negligent financially. I mean, she is a criminal. She had committed a criminal act.
Yep.
But I was negligent energetically.
Okay.
I remember you saying that you used to just scrumple up banknotes and shove them in a pocket or your handbag. And that's changed now.
Absolutely, because money was very easy for me to generate.
Okay.
When I back in 1984, because of the skill set that I'd been taught and developed, I was driving about in 1984 in a Porsche that I'd bought cash, at 24 years old.
Yes.
So money came very easily, but likewise it went out the door very easily. So you're absolutely right, that's what I mean. I was energetically negligent.
Okay.
She didn't have access to my bank accounts on the other side. She was a criminal. But because there was these chinks in my arms, because of these things, she was able to capitalize on that. Mm-hmm. So after this situation with me understanding about this, that we're 100% responsible. And in fact, it was one of the things that took me quite a long time to recover from the fraud, was because I was very aware that at some level I was colluding in this storyline with her.
And owning something like that is, it has to be worked upon, doesn't it? Because it's accepting it. And I guess this is why I've called this series of Our Spirited Life Owning Our Third Act.
Definitely.
I looked up the word embracing our third act, and it just wasn't quite the same. And I think as we get older and hopefully wiser with all of these experience, in fact, this is going to be my next question. What do you think of the advantages and indeed disadvantages of life in our third act in these years?
Well, the advantages are just, I don't even know where to start. I mean, your wisdom and your ability to reflect and your ability to, I mean, I actually call it now turning on a sixpence. If something immediately blocks me, I think, okay, is that meant to be? Am I meant to be doing this? Probably not. If something's difficult for me to do, I learn not to try and push the river uphill.
Oh, God, yes. Been there.
I've learned that to do. I can turn on and say, okay, I can do that. I can do something else. I can change that. I can change what I'm doing. So having that flexibility, that ability to reflect and ponder and review and revise, I think is great. I think your communication gets better.
Uh-huh.
Your connections get better. I mean, I can genuinely say I don't, there isn't a situation that I would ever concern myself about, because I know that I can, I've either got experience to draw on, or I'll trust that the correct inspiration will come to me in terms of, you know, either being in my zone of genius or just allow myself to connect or whatever. Yeah, so definitely the advantages is I would be no longer fazed by anything. You know, it's pretty, it would have to be pretty desperate for me to be phased. You know, I've got enough a bank of strategies and wisdom and expertise to draw on now that I know that I can get through any situation.
And resilience is a good thing.
Yeah,
it comes absolutely with experience and learning, doesn't it? And choosing to learn from the experience.
Advantages of being, you know, in this sort of third chapter, if you like, is the ability to say no as well.
Oh, yeah,
don't worry about saying no. I say no a lot.
Yeah,
yeah. And also learning that no is a complete sentence. I love that. I love that.
Yes, you know my one, Susie. You know, look, that's not going to work for me. No, that's not going to work for me.
Oh, that, I use that all the time now. Yeah. Yes. Or does that work for you? Yes. That is a fabulous sort of.
There's nothing else to be said with it. It's not going to work for me.
Yeah. So, so you do believe that learning is for life, do you? And so, why would you believe that?
Oh, well, from a physical point of view,
yeah,
you know, learning is energetic. You know, it's creating these fibers from the left to the right side of the brain, which helps us, you know, stimulates our physical development and keeps that energy flowing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just hungry all the time to learn more. Mm-hmm. I don't just need to know what something is. I need to know why it is and then how it is. And then, you know, it's something that I really love. I don't know if I've ever told you this story. I think it was, I can't actually remember the chap's name, but it was a very famous doctor who talked about that there was a nunnery. And these nuns in this nunnery lived well into their 90s and 100s. Have I told you the story before, Susie?
You know, it's funny. It's lovely because you have in a session. That was in my brain. I was going to ask you to tell it. So do carry on. That's fantastic. Well,
there was an agreement made that these nuns would allow the, you know, research done on their brains when they died, because they were living long, healthy lives into their 90s, into their 100s. Now, what was really curious was when they did the, you know, the postmortems on the nuns' brains, that they actually found that there was the same level of things like brain disease, dementia, Alzheimer's, as would have been normally found in the population of, you know, of people of that age.
Hmm.
However, these nuns had never displayed any signs or symptoms. And what the doctor came to the conclusion was there was three things that they had in common. Number one, they deferred to a higher intelligence.
Okay.
Number two, they were in service all their lives. And number three, they were lifelong learners. They continued to study till they literally could do it no longer. And that was, I thought that was an incredibly powerful example how to be continually learning. I'll give you another quick example. Just recently, with all the excitement and terror of everything that's been going in with American politics, I had noticed that my 87-year-old mum was getting a little bit dithery. That's a little bit hard to say when you've got a lisp. Dithery. And she was kind of going a wee bit, you know, sometimes when you speak to an older person, they're sort of going round in a loop. I could tell she was going around in a loop with that. So my mum had use of a very sharp brain. So what I did was I got her really involved discussing all the things that was going on in America, and I got her watching the various news channels and documentaries and things. Now, the transformation that happened to with my mum over a very short period of time, I'm talking about weeks, was extraordinary. And then she'd be calling me up saying, have you seen what Biden's done? Have you seen what Trump's done? Have you done? And it was like speaking to my mum 30 years ago.
Carrie, my mother will love this because she watches CNN all the time. And I said to her, Mummy, this really isn't good for you to be watching all this awful, awful stuff.
It depends what the objective is.
Story. Yes.
It depends what the objective is.
Oh, okay.
Because if she's going in to observe, which is what I've sort of trained my mum to do, is, you know, because I always say, Mum, don't believe anything at one person, question everything. And, you know, you don't take news from one source, you know, find it. So what she's doing is actually she's going in to analyze it and compare it,
okay,
as opposed to just sit there and consume it.
Absorb it.
Yeah, and absorb it. So it's a very, very, and then of course she'll say things like, oh, there was a tremendous program on whatever it was, CNN or NBC or whatever. I've taken notes for you.
Fantastic.
I know, and she'll read back the notes.
Yeah.
And all my family have noticed the massive difference in her since she's now really she could have stagnated watching things like Money for Nothing and The Loose Women on telly. She's bored with all that now. She doesn't want it. She's not interested in any of that now. She wants her mind is stimulated. So
it's
100% lifelong learning is the name of the game.
Yeah.
But and do you think that with the nuns, going back to the nuns, they with those three elements that they lived by which they lived their lives, that brought them such an element of being at peace with themselves and their life around them and the bigger picture, and that's
three things there, Susie. I'll tell you, and this is really part of the work that I've done with Psychology Vision over the years, and part of the whole ethos that I work with, not just in terms of my communication, but my thought process. Because really what it boils down to is when you train your thoughts and your actions into mainly your thoughts and your communications into three things, either number one, meditative. You know, so you're in a meditative state. Now, I'm not somebody who sits in OMS and meditates, but I will allow myself to be in a meditative state, which means that I'm either listening to something or I love to do it first thing in the morning because I'm not quite awake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'll maybe listen to, even if it's talking books. Now, you might think, well, how can you meditate listening to a talking book? That's what I do. I do because it takes me into a different sort of different place in terms of my my thought process and opens up my creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes me on to the second train of thought or communication, which is creative.
Mm-hmm.
Either meditative, creative, and the third is intimate. So either an intimate conversation or intimate thoughts, intimate actions. And when you put everything that you're doing into these three things, it's a life becomes a lot more pleasant. Life becomes a lot easier. And in actual fact, if you think about it from, excuse me, the nun's story, that's what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their meditation would have been in prayer. Their creativity would have been in the way they served others and many other things. And then their lifelong learning would have been the Bible reading, their Bible teaching, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic, Carrie. I want to go back because what I just felt coming up at that moment was about your warmth and your wisdom. It's your passion for supporting and helping others. And one of the things that I wanted to say was when I had some bad news about a loan that wasn't going to come through, and you were my business coach and mentor at that time, and I rang you up. And I think I was probably in tears, as I used to be then, and because I was very disappointed, and I thought, God, what am I going to do? And you actually were driving up to Edinburgh to see your son, and you didn't say so at the time, but he'd had an accident and was in hospital, but mm-hmm. you stopped the car and spent 30 minutes talking me through, and I'll never forget you saying, Susie, I promise you, you have everything inside you that you need. And I think that was life-changing, actually.
Oh, wonderful.
Then, of course, we need to activate and implement what we learn. And sometimes that can take a little longer. So, which leads me nicely on to what would you say to your younger self knowing what you know now?
Well, it's interesting you've just told me that story, because that's something that's so, so relevant in terms of the, and as an answer to that question. Probably the first thing I would say is you do have all the resources you need. Everything else that comes is either inspirational or educational, but actually you have all the resources that you need. And the second thing, and this is probably, you know, I know you've heard me say this many, many times, but I live my life by this, is, you know, to trust yourself. Like all those incidents where, you know, anything that was a very negative thing that happened to me, it boils down to I didn't trust my own instincts. I didn't listen to myself when I was getting that experience of this is off balance or this isn't right. Or even going to back to the accident, there were several times on that road that my intuition was telling me to go off the road and I didn't do it. So going back to my younger self, to trust myself, and of course, to trust the process.
The process, yes.
Because if you trust the process, it will never, ever let you down.
Yeah. And do you think it's because there is so much external influence now with the media, with social media, that we have come away from, almost forgotten, how to trust our gut instinct, how to trust ourselves and to trust the process.
I don't think we were ever taught it, Susie. I don't remember understanding any of that.
No. Well, then we were actually told to do as we were told.
Yeah.
I think now probably
there's no more conversations around trusting our gut instinct, trusting our intuition. I think there's probably more awareness of that now. There certainly wasn't awareness of that when I was young. Mm. Never even heard of it until I was, you know, in, as I said, into my 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
So even though I was probably experiencing it, I didn't have the wherewithal to understand it, or to certainly not to trust it. That was for sure. So, trust the process. I live my life by that.
Yeah, I love that. I have, over the years, I have said it so many times to my children that they now say it back to me when they say, Mummy, trust the process. Which is wonderful. So I have asked all our guests to provide our audience with either one major takeaway or three top tips for our audience. You've given us so many tips, Carrie. Is there anything that we want, apart from your lovely song, is there anything that you'd like to finish our conversation with today?
I think, you know, the easiest thing in the world is to go off our centre, or what I call moving out of integrity. And when I say integrity, I don't mean our honesty or our trustworthiness, because really that's probably a given within the majority of us as a natural state. Mm. What I'm talking about in integrity is, you know, doing the right things for the right reasons. Mm. Because when you do the right things for the right reasons, that's when life becomes easy, simple, and very, very fruitful. When we're trying to, it's, you know, back to that thing I said, trying to push the river up the, you know, up the hill. And that typically is when we're out of integrity. We might be trying to do the right thing, but we're doing it for the wrong reason. Or sometimes we're doing it for the wrong reason, but it could be the right thing. It works either way.
And so also, it's if we're doing it, whatever we're doing, because we feel we need to please someone else.
That'd be doing the right thing, but for the wrong reason.
Yeah, yeah.
So also then, if we're doing the right thing for the right reasons, the fact that it might displease someone else doesn't matter.
Well, it's not that so much it doesn't matter, but it's not your responsibility.
Oh, okay.
That's their responsibility.
Yes. Yes.
So we can only be responsible for, you know, what's happening within. So it wouldn't be that we're going to go and stomp over other people's feelings or anything like that and not care about things like that.
Yeah.
But it's about staying in integrity, staying congruent, staying focused, all of these things. And you know, we have to train ourselves to do that. Mm. We have to train ourselves.
That's one of the things.
there's an element of discipline in creating a life that becomes easy and simple. And sometimes it's bloody hard work, but it's worth it. Carrie, you've chosen a very unusual song by a man I've never heard of. And I love that. Would you please tell us about him?
You know, there's not a big story to this song, Susie. It just makes me smile because you asked me to do something that makes me smile. I love the introduction to it. I think it's really jolly. I've got it as my Alexa alarm, so I hear it in the morning. Okay. And it just kind of makes me, and some of the lyrics are a bit strange.
Yeah.
It just has that feeling of lifting my energy, and it's just nice. I could have chosen hundreds and hundreds of songs, but actually that's the one that wakes me up in the morning, and I thought it's kind of significant in that.
It gets you going in the right way, and I love that because I always love to introduce new things, and I'd actually be quite interested to hear what our audience think of it. So thank you so much, Carrie. It's been an absolute joy to have you on with us, and I'm sure that what you say and your warm, wise words of wisdom, gosh, I can't believe I said that, are going to really resonate with many. So for more inspiration and ideas on how to live a truly spirited life, just press subscribe. And if you'd like to continue the conversation, join our Spirited Life group. Details of how to do this will accompany this broadcast. So stay fabulous, stay well, and I'll see you again very soon.
If you enjoyed this broadcast, please remember to like and subscribe. And to enjoy fabulous extra value, just click the link to our membership page.